Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to AMI Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green. Today we'll be speaking with author Joseph Wint about his book, Secrets of a Happy Marriage. Mr. Wint, do we have you on the line?
Yes, sir, you do.
How are you today?
Oh, very well, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. So it's great to have you on. And I was hoping we could begin, if you could just tell our listeners a little bit about Secrets of a Happy Marriage and what it's about.
Oh, yes. I wrote The Secret of a Happy Marriage after we reached 50 years of love in our marriage. And I wanted to record this in a book so that my grandchildren and others can read it and find out the secrets.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And, of course, I'm gonna ask you for a couple of spoilers about a couple of those secrets for our audience. But I'm curious, so what inspired you to sit down and put this into book form? Or what is it you're hoping an audience will take away from this?
Well, I hope the audience will take away the fact that God is real. God gives us qualities. He gives us love, and he gives us patience, and he gives us the ability to forgive one another. And I think that those are some of the secrets of a successful marriage.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And I know that there were some specific passages from the Bible that you specify as sort of foundations for a good marriage or ideals. Would you mind speaking a little bit about those?
Yes. We begin with the well-known verse from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." In other words, the adverb "so" is really an extent of how much God loved us. He loved us so much that he gave his only son to die on the cross for us. And so to really understand love, we need to dig deep down into what love really means. And so when we study the Bible, we find that the Bible teaches us to enjoy one another's company, to accept one another's as people made in God's image. So I recognize that my wife was made in God's image, my children were made in God's image, and therefore we do not treat each other without respect. Everyone that's made in God's image must be treated with respect. So that's very important.
Yeah, no, that's such a such an important way of looking at it, of how we treat fellow man, always with mind to God and with holiness. And so I'm curious. So, you know, we love our neighbors and all of that, and we treat them with respect. What is it particular about marriage? How does the love of a man and a woman, what is unique about that, I guess, in terms of godliness and that kind of love?
Well, I think that it's unique in many ways. When I proposed to my wife, I didn't know that she was Colin Powell's cousin, and so I was afraid to even ask her to marry me because I had no money, I had no degree at the time. I didn't have a home. I didn't even have a car. So I was afraid to ask the question. But, you know, God gave me the courage to ask the question. And she kept me waiting for 7 years, and then she said yes.
Wow. And then you get 50 years of love out of it. And for those
yes.
who are in who are married or thinking about marriage, What are some of the things that partners can do, you know, whether it's direct lessons from the Bible or your own experiences to get over difficult periods or to make sure that the love stays pure. What, do you have some advice for our listeners?
I think that when difficulties arise, there is a need for prayer. And it's amazing what prayer can do. Prayer can put us in a mood of humility to help us recognize that we all make mistakes. So if a partner makes a mistake, we don't lord it over the partner. We seek God's solution in humility. So we recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that we're all human beings that have fallen short of God's glory. And so we need to recognize the need to forgive one another, the need to accept one another, and the need to receive one another.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes perfect sense, both spiritually and in terms of just the day-to-day of a marriage and all of those things. And, yeah, no, I think people can fall, if they're not thinking of it in a godly way, can fall into selfishness and pettiness and all of that, and to remember and put things into the larger perspective is definitely so important. And the book deals so much with you personally and your own experiences in marriage. Would you mind sharing us? You told us about your proposal and the 7 years up until the marriage, but what are some of the stories that you tell us in the book about your marriage? Would you mind talking about some of that?
Yes. In my book, I speak about some of the things that God has allowed me to achieve in life. We have two daughters. One went to Harvard and the other went to Cornell. And we never expected this sort of thing. And, you know, in today's papers, we're reading about people paying money to get their kids into top schools. And I find that so interesting because we never had even the thought of doing something like that. Our daughters studied hard to get into college, and they're doing very well. And we find that reading the Bible together, praying together, attending church together, and planning together financially and so on, discussing all these things, these are all very helpful. To realize that we're on the same boat, we're together in everything we do, I think that's important.
That, that cohesion is so important. And, yeah, and to have something that you can all, something happens or whatever, it's a hard day, a hard week, to always have something to go back to and know that it's not just your relationship with God or one of your daughters, but that you all share that together and to have that kind of that binding sounds so important. And your journey with your wife to that, what I'm curious about is your background, because the book is so wonderfully written. How you came to this as a writer and your relationship to writing about your wife and your life. What was it like to sit down and actually write this book and take your private life and share it with people?
Well, I'm a public school teacher. I taught English in high school and college. I'm retired now, so the writing of this book was to look back in my years of teaching, all the great times I had, all the problems I had. I got punched in the face once trying to stop a fight in school, and I was never compensated for that. So looking back over the years and looking at the number of students that I taught and influenced, I was in London 1 year, and a young man walked up to me and said, he said, "Dr. Wynn, do you remember those Bibles you gave us?" I said, "Of course." He said, "Well, I still have mine, and I'm still reading it." So I was glad to hear that, although we're not supposed to hand out Bibles in schools, I found ways of giving them out. And here's a young man telling me how he was blessed by the Bible I gave him many years ago. So I think that to look back and see the kind of things that I've accomplished in the schools is a great benefit to me.
That's great. And so obviously teaching English, the written word and the effect that has on young people, so whether it's obviously the Bible or it's, you know, whatever you're teaching and realizing how to reach people. And so you decided to put paper to pen, you retired, and just you wanted your audience to take away this message?
Yes, I want people to realize that love is real. Marriages do not have to end in 2 or 3 years. We see a lot of people getting married and ending their marriage in 2 or 3 years. And it doesn't have to end that way. We can learn to love. We can learn patience. The Bible teaches us patience. The Bible teaches us forgiveness. And you know, when I think about love, I think about love as an emotional love. I think about love as sexual. But I also think about love as something divine. In other words, if a couple is deeply hurt, it is the divine love that solves the problem, not the emotional love or the sexual love. Divine love gives us the example of Christ's love. And the scripture says, "Love one another as I have loved you," which is a major, major challenge to us. We're to love one another in our marriages as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And that's a profound thing. That's a great challenge.
Yeah, and to have that sort of ideal to strive towards.
Yeah, so if we don't forgive, what happens is we have an endless stream of resentment. And that's, with resentment, there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no happiness, and there's no meaningful relationship.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so interesting, you know, because there's a lot of books out there on marriage and on relationships, but that, you know, these lessons being drawn so clearly from the Bible and looking at love, not just, you know, as myself and my partner, but looking at it in terms of what can I learn from, you know, from the Bible and those ideals to strive towards as keeping things together just seems so unique for, you know, books about marriage, because I think people, they view it about themselves rather than about God. And I think, you know, what you've done is just so unique and so interesting. And so with this perspective you have, I'm curious, are you working on a new book?
Yes, I'm working on a book. I have tentatively called it The Trump Curriculum. And the reason for that is that I have not seen anything from the Trump office about education. Maybe it passed me by, but I don't know. I haven't seen that much about education from that office. But I'm working on what I think. If I were in Betty DeVos's position, if I were the director of education in Washington, what would I put out there to the people? So that's what I'm working on now.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. Would you be able to share with us one or two things that you think might need changing in the education system?
Well, you know, the usual curriculum is great, you know. Everybody has to study English, British English, American English. Foreign languages are important. I just gave my granddaughters some books on Spanish to help them in the school. And, of course, we have a lot of new things happening all the time. So teachers need to be constantly trained and retrained. But I think there ought to be I think there ought to be a certain segment of leadership that's coming from Washington. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, no, it is interesting now that you say it. No, I mean it doesn't seem to be a cornerstone there, and how important, because you know we're preparing the next generation, and you know what it is that they need, and so you know you never know whose hands that book could get into, though, you know. So that's always sort of the beauty about being an author, is you know who knows who in Washington might pick it up and give it a read. So that sounds like a wonderful use of time. And I'm curious, are you drawing from the Bible with this book, or is it more sort of a separation of church and state with this book?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because when you read the great American literature, Nathaniel Hawthorne and all this, you know, they all draw from the Bible. So to say that, you know, the idea of separation of church and state is really a myth, because you always have to refer to the Bible if you're reading anything from Nathaniel Hawthorne or John Milton or any of the great writers, Shakespeare. You know, you can't get away from it.
Right.
Can't get away from it.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. That's another really interesting insight, that it is so foundational in the educational system, you know, it's sort of what that means, of even just as an introduction to it through literature, for those who maybe haven't actually read the Bible, that, you know, it becomes almost a necessity, and, you know, what that and snowball effect and the lessons that can be learned from there in, you know, everyday life from the school to marriage. So that sounds very exciting. And I'm wondering, is there any last thing you would like to leave the listeners with? Maybe one last secret for a happy marriage, or just anything that you'd like to get out to our listeners?
Well, I must say that I was very fortunate in having my wife marry me, because she was she comes from a well-known family in Jamaica, and I'm very, very happy for her. She's very humble, she's very kind, she's very loving, and she's made me a very happy man.
Well, that's wonderful. Clearly, the secrets of a happy marriage have worked for you for 50 years. So you are a shining example of what you preach. And I urge all of our listeners out there to pick up a copy of Joseph Wendt's Secrets of a Happy Marriage. Well, Mr. Wendt, it has been a pleasure speaking with you, and I look forward to reading your next book when it comes out. So you'll have to let me know when that hits the shelves.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you so much, and have a wonderful day, and hopefully I'll speak with you soon.
Thank you. God bless you.
Take care.
Bye.
That was author Joseph Wendt discussing his book, Secrets of a Happy Marriage. This has been AMI Radio with your host, Charles Green, and as always, remember to read on.